Well, good morning again, everyone, and thank you for joining us as we come together to worship God in our Sunday service. And our first song today has its focus on God the Father. And in our Christian prayer series, that's our focus for today. Thank you for your contacts. It's always good to hear from you. And so thanks this week to Graham and Anne and Peter and Graham and Robin. I've heard from Carol and Charles and Vicky and from Simon and Beth. And of course, I ought to mention more often that I hear every week from George, who keeps this going on our website. Thank you, George. And so now we turn to the Bible and to Luke chapter 11. And just a short reading this week from verses 1 down to the end of verse 4. And Pauline will read for us.
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this, 'Father, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us day by day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who does us wrong. Do not bring us to hard testing.
Thank you, Pauline. And in our introduction to this little series last week, we saw that most people at some time in their lives do actually pray. And we're looking together at Christian prayer. And we saw that, as we looked at this last week, we saw that not all prayer is Christian prayer. Some is just a kind of religiously type prayer, almost for just for show. Some is what you might call spare tire prayer, where a person who never gives God a thought in any part of their life at all until trouble hits, until that emergency comes, and then they pray. Some of it is people just reciting or saying empty words. And none of that, of course, is Christian prayer. So, what is special or unique about the prayer of the Christian? Well, one commentator puts it like this, that Christian prayer is to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, and with believers. And so this morning I want to spend our time reminding us that true Christian prayer is always to the Father. And in that opening verse that Pauline read, begins that Jesus was in a certain place. A certain place. This was Jesus' daily habit. He had a certain place where he would begin the day in prayer. And thinking about habits, I remember when I had my first heart operation, and I was quite surprised that they actually keep you awake during the procedure. And I remember thinking, as I looked at the surgeon, I hope he's done this before, as he was messing with my heart that I could see on the screen. And as I was in that operating theatre, surrounded by a dozen or so doctors and nurses and a full crash team, part of the way through the operation, the surgeon said to me, "Mr. Morris, in a moment, I'm going to stop your heart just for a few seconds, and then I'll restart it." And again, I remember thinking, I hope he's done this before so that he knows what to do. And in some ways, that's the big thing about Christian prayer. Christian prayer is daily, is a daily habit, not an occasional emergency. So unlike the pagan unbelievers who only pray when trouble hits them, or there's some difficulty, and pray as a last resort, Christian prayer is daily and throughout each day. And so, can I ask you, do you have that daily habit? Do you have this certain place that is described in that opening verse? Do you start each day without missing, coming to commit yourself and the day to God in prayer? Now, I'm not in general talking about spending 2 hours in prayer. More about that another time, just except to say that Jesus' model prayer takes about 18 seconds to pray. I'm talking about starting the day with a minute or two of coming to God. And for the disciples, it's on seeing Jesus' habitual prayer life that moves them to ask him, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" So that it becomes, in a way, like your prayer. And now as I repeat that question, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would I be right in assuming that this same question is a question each one of us would want to ask? For in the Christian's life, surely there is nothing more difficult to establish and maintain than a meaningful prayer life. And we have to confess that although we can find time to do almost everything else, it seems that when it comes to prayer alone with God on a daily basis, life squeezes out the opportunities. Or as we touched on last week, even when we do find a minute or two to pray, our prayers can so easily become just babbling, a rush to get to the end so that we can get up and off to engage with all the real issues of life. And so, verse 2, Jesus begins his teaching of the disciples and his teaching to those Jews with a very, very shocking statement, because he says to them, when you pray, say, Father. Yes, that's what he said. He said, when you pray, Christian prayer, you say, Father. And the Jews, you remember, had many titles for God. The Almighty King, the Sovereign Lord, the One robed in majesty, etc. And we remember that God did give his name to Moses. He said, I am who I am. And that I am is the personal name of God. But that personal name of God was not allowed to be written down in the Hebrew language. So instead, it was written out without putting any of the vowels in it. And it's translated in our English Bible as Lord in capitals. When you see that in the Old Testament, it's this I am name of God. So high, so majestic, so holy is God that the Jews wouldn't even write his name, never mind ever say his name. And so this from Jesus is absolutely mind-blowing. Jesus says that for the Christian, they should come to this holy, almighty, sovereign God and speak to him, address him as their Father. Most of you know that the word in the Aramaic that we translate as Father in the New Testament is that word Abba. And some have said that Abba means daddy, but that's not quite right. Abba in Jesus' day, I suppose, is very much more like our Victorian Papa. It's that mix of intimacy with respect. And that's always the starting point of all Christian prayer. You come with awe. You come with respect as a child to your Father. And that's so important because we can forget that and slip into a casual, chatty approach. We can rush into times of prayer, forgetting that we're coming to the very throne room Almighty, sovereign, fearful God. But we come as a child. And Jesus says that we can speak to our Heavenly Father in the same way that Jesus himself speaks to the Father. And incidentally, and without seeking to digress into controversy, I just point out in today's ugly gender-setting world that we come to our Father and not to our mother. The Bible is absolutely clear about God's fatherhood. Whether that offends your modern thinking or anyone's modern thinking or not. But then I want to ask, whose father is he? You see, everyone's father. And the Bible's answer is so different from the world's answer. The Bible's answer to the question, whose father is he, is that he's not everyone's father. God is the father only of those who have become his spiritual children through faith in Jesus Christ. No one is born as a child of God. No one is born a member of God's family. Everyone is born as a member of a different family. Listen to what Jesus says to those very religious people, the Pharisees. One day he said to them, "You are not Abraham's children. You belong to your father, the devil." So how does a child of the devil, and that's everyone at birth in this fallen world, how does a child of the devil become a child of God? And the only way is for a person to be reborn spiritually, born again. And right at the heart of the good news that Jesus comes to bring is that people like you and me who are not in God's family, who are estranged from him, who the Bible calls enemies of God, can be brought right into God's family, adopted as a child of God. He gives us his name and the right of membership of God's family. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let me read this to you. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, "Because you are sons, daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And since you are a son or a daughter, God has made you also an heir." So when we come to God in prayer, the Christian comes to our Father. We come as a child, a son, a daughter, to their own Father. Nowhere else in all the world's religions do you find anything at all like this. God as your Father. You as a family member of Almighty God's own family. And so Christian prayer, coming to God as your Father, is unique. We come no longer under any condemnation. We come justified through Christ. In God's sight, the Christian is clothed, the Christian is covered with his son's righteousness, so it's just as if we had never sinned as God looks upon us. Sons and daughters of the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I belong to Jesus, I have all the blessings of family, all the blessings of God's family, all my debt of guilt has been cancelled and paid for by Jesus. And so the Father says, "I know all about you, but I want you to know that as my child, you are my most treasured possession." And to a God like that, you and I are invited to come. And when you come, to say, "Father." Dear brothers and sisters, just let the wonder of that stop you as you come to God in prayer. And before you say anything else at all, bow in wonder and awe and praise and honour. Honour him as your own heavenly Father. Amen. So let's pray. use the words of a song that we often sing together. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. Receive my heartfelt gratitude and help me to daily speak and listen to you, my Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, last week, four people had the right answer, and it was, of course, that the Ten Commandments were always kept, those written on the stone, were always kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Book of the Law, which was given to Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, were kept in the tabernacle, scrolls and scrolls of the Book of the Law, leaning up against the ark. And so here is this week's question. More simple one, I think. How did Gideon destroy the altar of Baal? How did Gideon destroy the altar of Baal? So let's close now, singing words from the Lord's Prayer itself.
Worship him tonight. our children and we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. Oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today. Hear us as we pray.
Forgive our sins, we pray.